Well, Kat told us some stories about Imbolc and Groundhog Day. I don't think it's a coincidence that those two things come on the same day. I think people all over the world in many, many ways are focused at this time of year on the hope, the people in our hemisphere, of course, are the sense that, oh, okay, spring is coming. Some places it looks really far away, and when they count 6 weeks of winter, they mean a lot of snow and ice. And for some of us, I just saw flowering cherry on my street beginning to flower, and I thought, oh, spring really is coming, even though it's just the beginning of February. So here's another thing we're celebrating today. I want to send you back in time, in your imagination, to 1938. Martha Sharp, from her home in the United States, was watching the events in Europe in the fall of 1938. And she was very, very worried. I dare say even possibly overwhelmed. Adolf Hitler was in power in Germany, and in September, European leaders agreed to let Hitler's government take over the Sudetenland, a part of Czechoslovakia that he claimed really belonged to Germany. Czechoslovakia was a country that you might know now as two countries, Czechia and Slovakia. Refugees who were afraid of Hitler headed east to the Czech city of Prague in huge numbers. 2 months later, in Germany, the Nazi leaders urged former soldiers and young Nazis to attack Jews all over the country, and they did. They beat them, they burned their houses, they smashed their shop windows. There was so much broken glass in the streets on that night in November 1938 that the riot was called Kristallnacht, the night of broken glass. After that, of course, thousands of German refugees crossing the border into Czechoslovakia, and many of them looking for safety in Prague. Martha saw all this and she wanted to do something. She was a social worker and she was a Unitarian. We weren't Unitarian Universalists yet. We were Unitarians or Universalists mostly. She was a Unitarian, and she had been taught to respond to people in trouble by organizing ways to help them. Her husband, Waitzel Sharp, was a Unitarian minister, and he had been taught the same thing. The American Unitarian Association said they would give them money to go to Europe and help out. So, in February of 1939, Waitzel and Martha went to Prague to help refugees get food and medical care. 3 weeks after they arrived, Nazi Germany invaded and took over Prague. And all of a sudden, it was one of the most dangerous places on earth to be. Now they had a very different job: get people out of Prague, out of Czechoslovakia, to countries that weren't under Nazi control, like England and the United States, if possible. The Sharps were constantly followed by Nazi police. Their phones were wiretapped. Their offices were ransacked. They had to use codes when they wrote and read important documents. They had to watch out for the Gestapo, the Nazi political police, who were always patrolling and searching for Jews and other people hated by the Nazi regime, the very people that the Sharps were trying to help. Then the Nazis ordered a stop to all refugee aid and assistance, which meant that Waitzel and Martha were now breaking the law. They didn't stop, though. They knew that they were doing the right thing, even though it was now against the law. But, okay, this was 1938 in Nazi-occupied Czechoslovakia. If they got arrested, they probably wouldn't go to jail or be put on trial. they would be sent to concentration camps, and many of the people sent there did not come out alive. So Martha and Waitzel kept working. They saved many people over the course of 6 months, and then in August, they got a tip that they were going to be arrested the next day. And so they left Prague and sailed back home. Several months later, they were back in Europe. They were the first people hired to work in the Portugal office of a brand new organization, the Unitarian Service Committee, and so they are considered two of the four founders of the USC, which is now the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee. The director of the new organization hired a graphic designer, Hans Deutsch, who was a Jewish refugee from Austria himself, to design a logo. The Sharps and everyone at the USC needed official stationery because they created very important documents that could make the difference between someone's getting into a safe country or they're having to stay in a country occupied by the Nazis. Deutsch thought about ancient religious symbols, like the goblet for the communion wine. You know, a goblet is, well, it's like this. It's a cup with a stem and a foot to hold it instead of just a cup with no stem. So he thought about that goblet. He thought about the holy oil that many religions used to give blessings. And he thought about the flame on ancient Greek and Roman altars. He put these ideas together and he designed the logo of a chalice. A chalice that, instead of wine, had a flame emerging from it. And so he passed the flame on. This symbol was on people's travel documents. It was on the business cards of the Sharps and everyone who worked for the USC, so they could show it to people and say, I am part of an official organization. You need to leave me alone. It even appeared in the windows of secret offices, a symbol that the Nazis might think was just a decoration, but that showed refugees that there was someone inside ready to help them. Many years later, when the Holocaust Memorial and Museum in Jerusalem, Yad Vashem, was founded, it honored Waitzel and Martha as two of the righteous among the nations, the name for non-Jewish allies who risked their lives to save Jews and others from the Holocaust. The flame that they kept and passed on to all of us was the flame of justice and compassion and the willingness to take a risk to do what is right. We are lucky if it never happens to us that we need to risk as much as Martha and Waitzel did. But still, we can take courage from people who were so brave. Maybe you also keep their flame of hope or determination or faith, because they had lots of all of those. As for the chalice, after World War II, it began to be used beyond the USC. By the time most of us here became Unitarian Universalists, it had been passed on to the wider religion. And now every UU congregation I know of lights a chalice at the beginning of the service and many other times as well. It is a reminder to us to always shine a beacon to guide people when they are searching, when they're in trouble, when they're sad, when they need a home. That's one of the flames we have been given to keep. To keep it burning and to pass it on to the people who come after us.